Okay, we'll go ahead and keep standing. We'll keep standing as we get into our word today. This morning we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. As we're standing, we'll read just a portion of the scriptures. Last week, we really just got through the first couple of verses, and we'll complete the chapter today. I think an appropriate name, which others have used, is called Approaching Hoofbeats. Approaching Hoofbeats, because there's the four horses of the apocalypse. And in a sense, when we read these scriptures, we can hear those hoofbeats today. We know the sound. They're so close at hand. In Revelation chapter 6, again back in verse 1, "Now I saw when the Lamb had opened up one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice, it was like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, a fiery red one, went out, and it was granted that one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." Verse 5, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come and see.' And so I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.' And then when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to them over a quarter or over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth." Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And even as we read it this morning, admittedly, it just grieves our heart to see the devastation to come upon this earth. And yet, Lord, you have saved us. And our hearts are filled with joy and gladness. We thank you for that. Our hearts are also interceding for loved ones that we know that have yet to taste and see how good that you are. Help us today as we go through the revelation that you've given to us, that it draws us closer to yourself and it purifies our hearts and gives us a desire to live in a way that honors and pleases you. We commit this study to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in the book of Revelation, thank you that you're a part of our journey through this book. We're in our 15th study in chapter 6 this morning. And as we know, and we like to, again, just in a quick overview, in chapter 1, verse 19, John was directed, "Write the things that you have seen." In chapter 1, he writes about Jesus, how spectacular, how glorious he is. Then he says, "Write the things that are." Again, this is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. It's an outline for the whole book of Revelation. "Write the things that are." And that's where we're at. We're in the church age. So we're in chapters 2 and 3 right now. This is the church age. The church age had a beginning, and it began on the day of Pentecost, and it has an ending. The mission for the church will be completed when God determines that it's completed, and he'll take us to be with him in heaven. He'll take the church. He'll take every believer left here on earth to be with him in heaven. And then we saw, he says, "Write the things that will be." In chapter 4, verse 1, John is taken into heaven. He represents the church going into heaven. And he gets a glimpse to see what's happening in heaven. And oh, the songs of worship that he hears. How beautiful that must have been. And how beautiful it is to those who are in heaven right now. And then in chapter 5, it says this view of heaven before the throne or on the throne is God. And he's holding a scroll. And we would believe that the scroll would be the title deed to the earth. Jesus created everything. He gave it to mankind in the garden. Man sinned. He forfeited that. It went into the enemy's hand. That would be the devil. We read already in the Gospels where when the devil was tempting Jesus, the devil said, all these things I can give to you, this world, everything I can give to you if you fall down and worship me. In other words, there's no need for you to go to the cross, Jesus. I'll give this all to you. And Jesus says, be away from me. And he brought the word of God. And Jesus says, I've come for this reason, to go to the cross and to die for the sins of the world, to redeem mankind, redeem the earth. And so in heaven, there's this title deed. And a question went out, it says in chapter 5, who's worthy to open this scroll and to loose its seals? And it says, worthy is the Lamb of God. It's Jesus. He's the one that's worthy. So in chapter 6, we begin a journey. Chapter 6 through chapter 19, it's what is known as the tribulation period upon earth. It's the judgment of God against all ungodliness. It's a 7-year period of time. That 7-year period of time is broken into 2 3.5-year periods with distinct things happening in those periods. During this tribulation period, chapter 6 through chapter 19, there's 21 different judgments that come upon the earth. There's 7 seal judgments, and we're looking at those today, 6 of them. Then after that, there'll be 7 trumpet judgments, and then after that, 7 bowl judgments. So God says the measuring out of his wrath are going to be 21 different types of judgments coming upon the earth over that 7-year period of time. We saw last week, and even in our text this morning, when we look at chapter 6 and in verse 1 and 2, we identified the rider of the white horse as the Antichrist. And we went into quite a bit of detail with cross-reference scriptures last week why it is the Antichrist and what is he going to do. The Antichrist could very well be alive today. To say that that's not true would be a misrepresentation. We don't know. But knowing the conditions of this world and the conditions of what's going on, he could very well be in this world. I believe personally that he is. One of our military generals gave a message at a graduating military ceremony yesterday, and I'm quoting, "And right now at this very moment, a fundamental change is happening in the very character of war," he said. "We are facing right now 2 global powers, China and Russia, each with significant military capabilities, and both who fully intend to change the current rules of engagement." That's yesterday. My friends, we're living in these last days. Our president was in South Korea this week. He may still be on his way back. I'm not certain. He responded to a reporter's question. "We are prepared for anything North Korea does," the president said. "We've talked through how we would respond to whatever they do so that I'm not concerned if that's what you're suggesting." In other words, North Korea has been exercising its military muscles again, launching missiles. And the president's in South Korea wondering if that's going to trigger some sort of conflict. These are 2 things that just happened in the last 24 hours in this world in which we live. The world is getting set for a one world leader. There'll be a one world government and a one world religion. And that one world leader, his name, among many names, is called the Antichrist. And we saw his name given to us in 1 John. The world is in a conflict. My question to you and to myself is, in this whole world, where would you find peace? Who said Idaho? Or Wyoming? Or Texas? Or perhaps Montana or South Dakota? I understand. Perhaps for a little bit. But really, in this world, where is that place of peace? The world is in turmoil. And what Revelation is speaking about is the greatest conflict of all the ages. And it's going to begin, and it will begin and accelerate. Why? Simply because the world has rejected Jesus Christ. The world has rejected his sacrifice for sin. The world has rejected his loving kindness. Spoiler alert. There is the rapture of the church, and there is the second coming of Jesus Christ. When we think about a possible destination that might bring a little bit more comfort and peace to our lives right now, we know that that's in worldly terms. But what it states is that our soul is longing for this sense of the Prince of Peace to rule this world. Now, as a born-again believer, the Prince of Peace does rule your life. But you're living in this world. You're living in a world where there's two kingdoms in conflict. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of the Lord. They're in conflict. And you're living under that conflict. And it's hard. And it's wearisome. And it's difficult. And I understand that. Only to say the very thing you and I are longing for, it will happen. It will come to be a reality. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if I were to take my last breath here on earth, I would be taking my first breath in heaven the next moment, inhaling the air of heaven. If God chooses for us to remain here as the church until, excuse me, guaranteed just one today. I just used my coupon. Okay. If the Lord were to take any of us today as a believer, we're immediately in his presence. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So God has it under control. There is that destination. It's very real. And we're excited about that. If we continue to be here and he chooses to see this period in Revelation 6 begin, then Revelation 4 comes before 6. Which means we exit, we're raptured, we're caught up, we're taken, the church is taken to be with the Lord before the tribulation period. People say, well, I think, Pastor, that that's an escapist type of theology. I could say you could be very wrong in that thinking. You see, to live godly in Christ Jesus, we do suffer. We suffer difficulties. But the tribulation period is the wrath of God against all ungodliness. You and I and believers have accepted Christ, so that wrath is not for us. Well, others will say, well, even if you're here during the tribulation period, he'll preserve you from such a wrath. You can't find that in the Bible. That's not there. He will take 144,000 Jewish evangelists and he will protect them and preserve them during the tribulation period. But his church, his bride, is with the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, in heaven during this period of time. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sin, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. When we're looking now in this section of Scripture, chapter 6 through chapter 19, we're speaking about the wrath of God. It's necessary, but don't stop there. Don't all of a sudden put everything on hold. Don't just concentrate on this tribulation period, because after the tribulation is over, what we need to realize is Jesus is coming back from heaven at the end. We're coming with him. And he's going to set up that kingdom on earth. It's called the millennium period of time, chapter 20. 1,000 years. He's going to reign and rule on this earth, and we are going to be in our glorified bodies with him during that period of time with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And after that, there's going to become a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to be with him for all eternity. So refresh your mind in that truth. Yes, this tribulation period is very real and will take place. The heart of God is revealed in Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? In 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 and 10, again, the revelation of the heart of God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. So that white horse is the Antichrist coming on the scene. He comes on the scene with peace, and he's able to negotiate peace. Remember, the tribulation period is a 7-year period of time, divided into 2 3.5-year segments. The first 3.5 years, that Antichrist comes on, and he is everything that the world has been looking forward to. He is the superhero of the world. He is able to do what no other leader has been able to do. He doesn't come with horns and a red cape and a pitchfork. I would think that this individual is just incredible. I mean, you could think of perhaps some of the greatest leaders that our world has known. It'd be like that, all combined into one. Very charismatic, very, very up to what the task is for sure, but very deceptive, because he's governed by the devil, himself. Psalm chapter 2, it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, and say, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. What's going on right now, my friends? There's a war in Ukraine, and over 1 million refugees have had to flee the country. Afghanistan, we demonstrated terrible leadership in the evacuation of our military and other assisting help in Afghanistan. You might remember after 9/11, there was a Western coalition that targeted the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, waging war. That war lasted for 20 years, The U.S. withdrew its troops in August of 2021. The government quickly collapsed, and the Taliban has regained power. South Sudan, more than 7 million people, 60% of the entire population. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. In Syria, that number is 12.4 million, which is about a 57% increase from 2019. Yemen, 16.2 million are food insecure. And malnutrition rates amongst women and children remain the highest in the world. When we look here and see what's taking place, draw your attention to the verse 3. In the second seal, I heard a second living creature saying, another horse, a fiery red one, went out. It was granted to him who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. You have the white horse. There's a sense of peace and leadership. It's going to only last for a short period of time. And after that, there's going to be war. And the results of war are starvation. And the result of starvation is death. When we see these four horses are an aerial view. If we're in the Goodyear blimp, we're looking down and we're seeing the seven-year period of time. We're seeing the reality of these four horses through the tribulation period. It starts off with peace. It's tribulation. There's things that are happening, but it gets more and more intense as each year goes by. So when we're looking and seeing this, it's worth for a moment turning over to the Gospel of Matthew. And let's see what Jesus has to say regarding this same situation that he's communicating to us in Revelation chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, he sat on the Mount of Olives, and this is called the Olivet Discourse. The disciples came to him in Matthew 24:3, and they asked him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the signs of your coming, and what will be the end of the age? And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. The rider on the white horse is deception. He's the devil. He's the Antichrist. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Remember, he came to his own. When he was on earth, Christ came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And Jesus says, another will come, and you will believe him and accept him. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and that could be, you know, and kingdom against kingdom, and ethnic group against ethnic group, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and there'll be hate for one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And look at verse 12. And because of lawlessness, it will abound. The love of many will grow cold. One of the heart-wrenching things that has happened in our nation over the last year or so is what they have done to our police departments and to our military. And not only defunding them, but preventing them from doing the job they need to do. They've hindered that. I mean, you officially can get pulled over by an officer. He could get out of the car to come to your window. You can take off. He cannot pursue you. He can't pursue you. There's somebody robbing your house. You call 911. The sheriffs arrive. Someone flees from your house. He can't pursue. There's many things that they have done in recent times to allow lawlessness to abound. Look at the district attorneys throughout our nations and what they're doing. Looking at our own Department of Justice and realize what they're not doing when they have the information before them. What is that? That's lawlessness abounding. There's going to be a decision, and it could be this week, regarding Roe and Wade decision of the Supreme Court regarding abortion. Obviously, a precursor was released. The briefs of what they were studying was released. And people have heard that that decision to allow a constitutional right to be overturned. There's no constitutional right to kill an unborn child. That's what they're overturning. Decisions are going to have to go back to states. But that's the decision they're making. Be prepared for gross lawlessness to take place. Be prepared for ministries like ours and others that speak for life to be under scrutiny and persecution. We're living in these days. If we look and see, following that scripture again in Matthew 24, it tells us, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." My friends, one of the great blessings of technology is the distribution of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The messages are going out greater than at any other time. The translation of different languages are accelerating right now because of the tools available to get them out. And some of the people that we know and support, they're not putting it into printed material. They're creating apps in these languages, and these apps are being used for the distribution of the Bible. The gospel is going out throughout the world. There's tremendous statistics for that. God will accomplish his purposes as well. So when we continue on back in Revelation chapter 6, we want to move along. When he opened the second seal, we saw this fiery red horse come out, and it has to do with what's going to take place. And the best description is anarchy taking place. I believe that there's stronghold of anarchy within our community and in Bellingham. I've communicated many times that I see Bellingham as a subset of Seattle and the things that go on there. And what's going to take place in these end times is riots and crimes, wars, nations against nations. There'll no longer be any law and order. And you have to see behind the scenes when you're looking at current administrations, both federally and our state and locally, making laws to allow and provide for lawlessness. Our family has been in various stores in Bellingham and have been eyewitnesses to people walking out loaded with garments and other items that they're stealing from the stores. And no one does anything because they won't do anything. And I'm talking about hundreds of dollars of stuff walking out. And it's permissible. We've made laws that permit that. That's where we're at. And who pays for that? Of course, right? And then you scold someone in the corner for not wearing their mask when they're marching out with thousands of dollars of merchandise. Like, what world are we living in? Mankind has never developed a weapon that they have not used. Just be mindful. So we have an arsenal of nuclear weapons. Genesis communicated something from the heart of God. In Genesis 6:3, the Lord says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever." It says in Genesis 6:5, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and in every intent of his thought was only evil continually. Jesus said, if you want to know what the end times will be like, it will be like in the days of Noah, the days of the flood. What was happening in the days of the flood? We see from the scriptures, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Jesus would say in Matthew 24, verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Again, with all the weapons that are available, the capacity to annihilate the entire earth is very likely, but it won't happen because Jesus intervenes. Verse 5, he opened the third seal and the living creature saying, come and see. And I looked and behold, the black horse. He who sat on it had a pair of scales, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius. Do not harm the oil and the wine. There's a scarcity of food, and food is being rationed. Again, when we're going through this, brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus Christ, we're not here during this. We're in heaven. Amen? We're in heaven. But we are living in the reality of how close we are to this. The shadow, the shade, what we see taking place. Is there not a shortage right now of baby food? Is there not a shortage of other types of food? Is there not strategic planning to create shortages, to buy up all the farmland in the United States? The largest owner of farms in the United States is Bill Gates. And he wants to bring about synthetic food and not real food. That might not be the correct term, but to me it's make-believe stuff and not the real stuff. And he stated that, and I've heard him speak about that. It's saying in 5 and 6 that whatever the day's wages was, this is what a denarius was, but if you're at $15 an hour and just working a day, that's $120, so $120, $200, that's going to buy you a loaf of bread. And that's it. I mean, you got to share that. Verse 7, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the four living creatures says, come and see. And I looked, a pale horse. The name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. Power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword and with hunger and death and by the beast of the earth. So the pale or green, it's a color of death. One quarter of the world. The world is not yet at 8 billion. It's right there. It's like 7.9 billion. So roughly 2 billion people die in that first 3.5 years. I'm not sure if this is correct, but it's close probably. What would that represent? South America, gone. Central America, gone. Population in U.S., gone. Canada, gone. Europe, gone. Sub-Sahara Africa, gone. That would make up about a quarter of the world's population. Gone. Just like that. COVID-19 worldwide, around 6 million related deaths. The Spanish flu was 50 to 100 million. The bubonic plague was 75 to 200 million. And I'm very interested because Jesus spoke about pestilence that come in Matthew 24. This is coordinated. These run together. 6 in Revelation, Matthew 24, they're running parallel. COVID-19, COVID. So I'm just really curious. This was artificially engineered in a lab. It escaped and it spread to the entire world with deadly results. Millions have died. It upended the economies of the world. It created isolation. It created great fear. And I'm wondering, where are the consequences? I haven't seen anybody held responsible. Where are the men and women, the leaders that would stand up and bring a sense of accountability if this is what happened? In other words, there are other labs in this world. There's labs in China, labs in the United States. There's labs in Russia. There were labs in Ukraine. Where's the voice of saying, if this would happen, this artificially, where's the leadership taking place? Or is there a plan? Is this just all part of a bigger plan in mind? To affirm that, Joe Biden, our president, President Biden, this period of time, this is last week, is pushing to cede our sovereignty, to release our sovereignty, listen, to the World Health Organization. So the World Health Organization, behind COVID, he wants to make a global rules, be a part of that, that will restrict our freedom in the United States, at home and abroad. This is a serious threat to American freedom. So he wants to give our sovereignty to an outside organization, the World Health Organization, so that they can determine and bring about proclamation that will be a federal proclamation to our nation and to our states as well. He wants to give WHO, World Health Organization, control over everything from declaring an epidemic to a pandemic emergency. Believe me, they'll squeeze in global warming in there somewhere too. You just know that this reeks with deception. This includes approved response, treatment protocols, what and how many injections will be mandated, which vaccine passports are recognized, who must have them, and how nations and individuals will be punished for non-compliance. I'm just quoting what is written and what we have. It's interesting, the CEO of Pfizer explained this week that Pfizer has new technology. It's called the ingestible pill, a pill with a tiny chip. This is quoting, that will send a wireless signal to relevant authorities when the pharmaceutical has been digested. And the president or the CEO says, imagine the compliance. This isn't make-believe. This is all happening right now. And Jesus says in the book of Revelation, when you're looking at these four horse coming, when you're looking at widespread destruction, you're wondering how that will take place. You're looking at a leader, a one world leader coming in place. You're wondering, wow. Verse 9, he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God, for their testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and he said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who will be killed as they were was completed. What is happening in this fifth seal? We get to see what is taking place. So the church is in heaven. But what about those? The tribulation starts with all ungodliness. So the population is ungodly people. That's how it starts. The godly people are taken to heaven. The godless remain on earth. But Jesus, again, people get saved during that time. And he's saying they also get persecuted and martyred. So those that were martyred, what happened to them? There before, we see the altar up there, and they have the robe of righteousness, and they're crying out, how long? I mean, how much longer is this going to go on? How long? So sometimes people wonder about in heaven, do you know anything that's going on earth? And obviously don't want to create doctrine, but can be reflective in saying these people are in heaven and they're realizing something terrible is going on earth. It's very hard because you realize that in heaven there's fullness of joy and no sadness. But just as you read the text, it's just something to ponder. Even we saw in Luke 16 where you had Lazarus and the rich man, and Lazarus was in the place of comfort and the rich man wasn't, and because of his decisions, not because of his wealth, but he pleaded that somebody could go and evangelize his family. I think of the arrogance that people have. I'm going to go to heaven and party with my friends. That is so sad and deceptive. It is no party, because somebody that was there pleaded and realized that this is a place of torment. Save my family. Proclaim the gospel to my unsaved family on earth. That's just a little reflective insight. Verse 12. And I looked, and when the sixth seal was opened, behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. So there's an earthquake. It's great. It's taking place. Verse 13, the stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree drops its late figs. It's shaking with mighty winds. The sky receded as a scroll is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Just thinking about this for a minute, the way the world is ordered, not a new world order, but the way God has ordered the world, you can set your watch by the sun and the moon and the stars, by the way he's ordered everything. If you're lost, you can find your way by the way he's ordered everything. But there comes a point where he eliminates all of that. He reveals himself as the creator worthy of worship. In verse 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, they hid themselves in caves and rocks and mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb. What's happening here is that they're acknowledging the Godhead. They speak of the Father, they speak of the Son, and they speak of the Lamb, of course, the Son of God. They acknowledge his power. They acknowledge his power is greater than anything that they have seen. They acknowledge that they cannot escape. They can't buy their way out. And they have no capacity to protect themselves. But they refuse to surrender to God. They won't surrender to God. And today we see people, they're content with the destruction of the moral foundation of this nation. As long as they can continue to engage in their sin. And you say, you know, that's not appropriate. That's where the battle lines. As long as there's abortion on demand, as long as I can promote my sexual immorality without restraint, as long as I can take all the recreational drugs I choose and you can help finance them, government. And I'm thinking, why? Because you're going to face the wrath of the Lamb of God. And people will have an objection. I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in a God who judges. I only believe in a loving God. Well, the Supreme Court is going to make a loving decision, I hope and I pray, and it's a loving decision to allow innocent children to not be murdered. So their judge, they're going to make a judge. It's a loving decision. But that decision, if it's the one that is made, the reaction is going to be violence and hatred and murder. People like the fact that referees penalize people for doing things that are wrong. That's why they go to the game. And the referee's given authority. But let God throw a flag. Let God throw the flag and saying it's wrong. Let him throw a flag because there's the need for righteous enforcement of his holy law. I can't believe that a God of love would do that. That is intolerable. And the reason people say that is because we're living in an insane asylum on earth. It's crazy. The book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus. You can't change it. It's revealing. It teaches us that Jesus is God. He's a God of love and a God of wrath and a God of judgment. If this were not true, he could not be a God of love. And I just hear this mantra proclaimed this last couple of years. Follow the science. Follow the science. I just did a basic definition. What's conception? It's the process of becoming pregnant. When does life begin, Supreme Court Justice? I don't know. President, when does life begin? Oh, it's above my pay scale. Well, just read in the dictionary. When conception takes place, it begins. Amazing. And then it says, genetics determine, are you, what is a woman? What is a man? I don't know. Okay, we want to follow the science, okay? You've helped us out. We'll follow the science. Genetics determines whether a baby will be a girl or a boy. Girls have two X chromosomes, and boys have one X and one Y chromosome. Whether the baby will be a boy or a girl is determined at the time of conception. This is using their own material. So you don't choose to be somebody different than what God's created you to be. I don't know who I am. Your XX or your XY, that's who you are. You can do all you want to change this body or whatever else. You take your blood, that's who you are. You won't change it. Your XX or your XO, follow the science. That's how God has made us. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who's able to stand? Let's stand right now. The worship team has one final song. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My friends, you know, here and anybody else watching online, there's a decision made today here on earth, and it will determine your eternity forever. There's only two destinations: eternal life, which is with God in heaven, eternal death in hell with the demonic realm and all those who love to be wicked and do evil things. Jesus says, I love you. I love you so much, I'm leaving the holiness of heaven to come to earth to take on like a human being and to live a perfect life and to die on the cross for the sins of the world to save you. He conquered death. He rose again. He's alive. And he's saying, trust me. Father, I do pray for each and every one of us. Either we're rejoicing in the joy of our salvation, or Lord Jesus, I pray for those that aren't sure, that a prayer like, dear God, forgive me, I've sinned against you. I ask for you to forgive me, to be my Savior, to be my Lord, and to be my friend. I want a relationship with you. I want the certainty of heaven. I want hope on a daily basis. In his name we pray. Amen.